Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the Senate Environmental Quality and the Assembly Natural Resources Committee joint informational hearing on the carryout bag charges initiative. Pursuant to Senate Bill 1253, which was authored by Senator Steinberg in 2014, the legislature is required to hold public hearings on all initiatives that receive 25% of the signatures necessary to qualify the measure for the election ballot. The initiative before us today has met that requirement. And in fact, just last week, supporters of this measure submitted the signatures necessary to place it on the November ballot. This initiative essentially requires that if the state is going to ban the carry-out bag and require a charge to be placed on another type of carry-out bag at the store, then the money generated from the charge must go to the state for specified environmental purposes. Right now, California is the only state in the nation that has a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags and requires a minimum 10 cents charge on a reusable or paper bag at a grocery or convenience store. This law was established by SB 70, which was authored by Senators Padilla, De Leon, and Lara in 2014. However, SB 270 currently is put on hold by a referendum to overturn it, which is coincidentally also on the November ballot. Both measures are backed by the same people. The official proponent is a Mr. Dole L. Johnson and the American Progressive Bag Alliance. The initiative, combined with the referendum, creates a lot of uncertainty and confusion on how carryout bags will be dealt with statewide. Although the initiative and referendum are closely linked, today's hearing is primarily focused on the initiative. Assemblymember Williams will do his best job to join us later. In fact, here he is at this moment. But in the meantime, why don't we have some opening remarks by the chair of the Assembly Natural Resources Committee, providing us an overview, and then we'll hear from our scheduled witness, Ms. Ashley Ames, from the Legislative Analyst Office. Good afternoon, Assemblymember Williams.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for joining us at this public hearing regarding the carryout bag charges initiative. As many of you know, the Steinberg bill requires the appropriate legislative committees to hold a joint public hearing on all initiatives that receive 25% of the signatures. Just last week, the proponent of this measure submitted the signatures necessary. And I want to say that I have strongly and consistently supported California's efforts to ban single-use plastic bags, which pose a serious threat to California's environment and the world oceans. In fact, I don't believe that we need to use single-use bags in general. This proposal appears to provide funding for environmental projects throughout the state. However, the timing of this initiative, which will require voters to vote on both the referendum and this initiative in the same election, and the construction of the initiative, appears to be intended to confuse voters and hurt what has been the will of the legislature. Moreover, as drafted, the initiative raises so many questions that litigation seems unavoidable, which doesn't seem to be a way to make public policy. Even if the voters pass the referendum, the court process may further delay the statewide bag ban. I'd like to clarify that this hearing is focused on the initiative and not on the referendum to uphold or repeal California's bag ban law. And I want to thank Ashley Ames with the LAO for being here to help us understand this complex initiative, and especially since she'll be a one-woman show. Senator Wiakowski.
Senator Bates, you have an opening comment you'd like to make.
Just glad to be here to hear the discussion. I will share that in the 36th Senate District, we have at least two of the coastal cities who already had imposed a plastic bag ban with, I think, some opportunities, so it was flexible in some areas. So if I were to weigh in with my own opinion, I really think it should be local control, frankly. But it was approached differently from up here, and now we have the reaction, and we'll see what the people think.
Thank you. You know, this issue of whether or not to ban or charge for bags is not just a battle taking place here in California, but across the United States and actually abroad. For example, just a few weeks ago, New York City adapted an ordinance requiring a 5-cent minimum charge on all carryout bags provided at checkout for all retailers throughout the city. In France, I had an opportunity to be at the climate change conference in December, begins its plastic bag ban in just a couple of months in July. On the other hand, states like Arizona and Florida have gone in the opposite direction, banning a bag ban. So as California, almost a decade after the first efforts to regulate carryout bags statewide, we are currently the only state in the nation, as I said, who have that single use plastic bag, and that was partially in response to this hodgepodge of having 100 cities with different bans and different prices and what would go on. So let's not speak anymore up here. Let's have our witness from the Legislative Analyst's Office, Ms. Ashley Ames. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Murkowski, Mr. Williams, members. Ashley Ames with the Legislative Analyst's Office. Just by way of background of our office and our role in this process, we do provide independent, nonpartisan analysis of the ballot measures that do appear in the voter guide. Our analysis is focused on just describing what the measure would probably do and what its potential fiscal impact would be on state and local governments. So it is important to note that we do not take any positions on any ballot measures. And I'll also just note that at this time, we are still actually in the process of developing our analysis for the voter guide. And so we might not necessarily have finalized exactly what we think the effects will be. And so there is some chance that our final analysis could potentially be slightly different than what we discuss today. However, that said, I do plan to provide a summary for you on the Environmental Fee Protection Act based on the information that we currently have available to us and what our thinking is at this time. And so essentially, yeah, this initiative requires that any revenue from the sale of carryout bags, when that sale is required by a state law and a law that also bans the free distribution of other bags, be deposited in the Environmental Protection and Enhancement Fund, or EPEF, which is established by the initiative.
Ms. Ames, let me get a clarification. When you said any revenue, is that less the cost of the bags, the administrative costs, or just the whole 10 cents? I mean, is your analysis is, because there is some cost of a bag, right? As you read the language.
Our understanding is that it would be the full 10 cents or whatever charges levied on the bag at the point of sale would go to this new fund, of course. And as you discussed earlier, in terms of background of the initiative, the legislature did recently pass and the governor signed the state carryout bag law, or SB 270. And as you mentioned, that does prohibit many stores from providing single-use plastic bags. It also requires the 10-cent charge for the bags, and it creates a standard for reusable bags. And it does allow retailers to retain the revenue from these sales and specifies what that money might be used for, such as cost of compliance, providing paper and reusable bags, or for educational materials. And so the statewide law is also similar to many local ordinances that were already in place at the time that it was passed. There's currently about 120 of them. And so it does not affect the ordinances that were already in place, and therefore the statewide law would only apply to about roughly the other two-thirds of the population in the state that wasn't already covered at the time. But our reading of it is that it seems likely that the initiative would apply to SB 270 based on the way that it's set up. And if so, under this measure, the revenue from paper reusable bag sales would be deposited into the EPEF instead of being retained by the retailers. The measure also specifies that the Wildlife Conservation Board would administer that fund and would use it to support grants for seven different environmental purposes, which were drought mitigation, recycling, clean drinking water supplies, state, regional, local parks, beach cleanup, litter removal, and wildlife habitat restoration. The measure does also allow a small portion of the funds to be used for the grant administration and some of the audits of grant recipients. And it does provide that local governments with an option to require money pursuant to their own local ordinances also go into the state fund. In terms of our fiscal effect estimate that we came up with on state and local governments, we think the measure would make a few changes to the statewide law, but the primary change would be the redirection of this revenue from the sale of bags from being retained by retailers into the new fund. And we estimate that the revenue from this sale could be in the several tens of millions of dollars annually, and so that would be coming to the state. The actual amount could be higher or lower based on several different factors, primarily what actual bag sales are, as well as what the prices of paper and reusable bags ultimately end up being, but we think that's the primary effect. I will note, as you did, that estimating the effect becomes slightly more complicated than what I described, because the referendum with SB 270 is going to appear on the November ballot, and it seems likely that this measure will also appear at the same time. And so therefore, the fiscal effect of the initiative is going to depend a lot on what the outcome of the vote on the referendum is as well. For example, if the referendum fails and SB 270 is repealed, then the fiscal effect of the initiative is probably going to be very minor. It would only be the local governments that choose to send their revenue to the fund. And we don't think that would result in a lot of additional revenue to the state. However, the provisions would remain in statute, and so if there were a future carryout bag law, it's possible that it could have fiscal effects at that time. It becomes even more complicated than that if both measures do pass. If SB 270 is upheld and the initiative passes, then the prevailing measure is going to be the one with the most affirmative votes. If the referendum has more, the initiative is unlikely to have much of an effect, since 270 would go into effect and it specifies that the revenue is retained by the retailer. I think the situation that seems the most complicated, right, is if the initiative has more affirmative votes. We think it seems likely that SB 270 would mostly go into effect, and then the parts that conflict with where the revenue would be directed would go with the initiative, which would send them into this fund. However, as you noted and as noted in your agenda, it is possible that the two measures could be interpreted by courts as being conflicting measures, which would probably enact the initiative and could potentially repeal SB 270. If that's the case, then the fiscal effect would be similar to if the referendum fails. It would probably be very minor. But that's our fiscal estimate and our description. But with that, I'm happy to take questions that you have on it.
Questions of Ms. Ames?
Yeah.
So even if a store is already charging, say, like $1 or $2 or $5 for a fancy bag, does the provisions of this initiative essentially require them to turn all that money over to the state?
Our reading of it is that it would be all of the revenue from bag sales at the point of sale. And so in that case, yes, it would be 100% of the revenue from the sale.
How is that not a? How is that not a taking? We so you're saying that essentially no one can sell a bag and get a profit for that if it's in a certain location in the store.
Our understanding is that if it would apply
in any kind of bag
checkout or at the point of sale. I think it is possible that it could be for sale at some other location in the store, such as in an aisle, and then it may not be applicable.
So, wow, so in order to respond to us in what they view as a interference, a heavy interference on private property, they're going to do a larger interference on private property. That's pretty amazing.
Well, the Girl Scouts may have more than cookies when you walk in the store next time. Other members who have questions? Oh. Okay. Now there are members of the public who'd like to comment on the carryout bags. Charges Initiative Statute 1734. Please come forward and address the Joint Committee.
Hello, this is Eddie Moreno on behalf of Sierra Club, California. We just wanted to say that we supported the bag ban, and we support a yes on the referendum. And this is important for us and our members. It's important for the environment. And we've seen that, you know, a number of local governments have implemented this ban, and there have not been any significant economic impacts. Thank you.
Others in support, I mean, others who want to comment. We're not having a supporter. Please come forward.
Mark Murray with the Environmental Group Californians Against Waste. And honestly, I don't have a position on this initiative because I don't understand what it does. I've read the language backward and forward. I've read your incredibly thorough analysis. Your analysis, 42 pages, 10 times longer than the initiative itself, and for good reason, because it is really difficult to understand what the intent, what the purpose of this initiative is, beyond what the chairman of the Assembly Natural Resources Committee pointed out, which is basically to confuse voters, to mislead them, to misrepresent them. I don't know whether this is intended to complement the ban charge in the referendum or to completely undermine it and void it. It's not clear from the language. It's not clear from the language of this initiative that it even applies to SB 270 because it doesn't specifically reference the language that's in SB 270. Instead, it represents two concepts that are touched on by 270. It could have been written precisely to link to SB 270, but the authors of the initiative chose not to do that. They've chosen, it seems, in every step to make this difficult to understand. Now, for 50 years, Californians have been generating plastic bags, and there have been some 4 million tons of plastic has been generated over the course of those 50 years. And when we ban plastic bags next November statewide, that's not going to solve the problem of the 4 million tons that are continue to persist in our environment from all of those other plastic bags. And frankly, I think it would be great if we had some kind of environmental fund that was paid for by the manufacturers and the distributors of those plastic bags to help pay for the cleanup. But this measure doesn't accomplish that. It's not clear to me at all. I'm an informed voter, and it's not clear to me at all what this measure actually does. I think we've all kind of been duped into thinking, well, this must connect to the language in SB 270, and it must be saying that if I get charged 10 cents for a paper bag at the store, that's the money that's going to go to the environment. But that's not clear that that's what this initiative does. I know the proponents have said that in their press statements, but that's not clearly what the language in their initiative does. So I'm still trying to figure out what this is. I mean, it's unfortunate that this process will allow this measure to move forward with an unknown impact in terms of what it does, and voters are left to try and figure it out. Now, there is a process. There is, in the SB 1253 process, there is a process whereby the legislature could try to come up with a policy to implement the intent as it was envisioned by this initiative. Now, I'm not sure anyone has the interest or energy to try and do that at this point in the legislative session, but we know how to write this correctly. If the intent is to direct revenue from the sale of the paper bags that are regulated under this bill, we know how to clearly write that language, and that could be done. Now, we would have contemplated that in SB 270, but it would have been a two-thirds vote of the legislature, and I don't think we had the votes to do that. So there is an opportunity to write this correctly. There is an opportunity. There's been an opportunity for months for the proponents to pursue legislation to do this correctly. They haven't done that. I don't think they're really interested in directing funds to the environment. I think they're more interested in just confusing voters and rolling the dice. Thanks for your time.
Mr. Murray, thank you for your comments. Are there others who want to participate in the public comment? All right, then we'll close the public comment, bring it back to the members. I'll just note that the actual initiative in section two, subparagraph A says, in 2014, the California legislature enacted a ban on plastic carryout bags after lobbying by special interests, including the California Grocers Association. On subparagraph D, which is makes me want to scratch my head, this special interest deal will provide grocers and retailers over $400 million in added revenue every year, all at the expense of California consumers with little or no benefit to the environment. And I can't believe that Safeway's making $400 million off of selling bags when we all get 12, we all have tons of them in our car that we use and they get reused, but that's what the initiative says. So with that,
I just want to note that the proponents were invited today, or the proponent, the only one listed, was invited today. We did not receive an answer from him. We received an answer from his attorney, not willing to explain and clarify either his intent for the record any of the drafting. I think that adds more suspicion to that the idea of this is to confuse voters, and I think that is deplorable. I also, you know, in their intent language, want to take that on a little bit. If in the system how it is right now, it's not like those bags are free, right? We all pay for them through the charges that we have at that business. And under the current system, anybody who's responsible enough to bring in another bag is still charged for all the other bags that other people are given. And to me, it's a conservative value, not a liberal one, that says, if I don't need a bag, I shouldn't be charged for it. And right now, if you go into a grocery store, if I don't need a bag, I'm still charged for it through my grocery prices. So to me, this is a conservative value that says we shouldn't be forcing anybody to be charged for something that they don't want and that they're not buying.
We've been joined by Senator Pavley and also by Assemblymember Hadley. Did anybody want to say anything, add anything to this robust debate today? All right, if not, we're adjourned.